Good day, beloved. My name is Vilio, and I'm a student ministry leader here at Chofa Stellenbosch. It's a massive privilege for me to be able to address you on this day from God's Word. I'd like to open for us in prayer. Father, we exalt you. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to approach your Word, Father God, in humility, in fear, Father. And we pray, come transform our hearts, Lord. Change us, Father God. Because your Word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we submit ourselves to the precepts of your Word, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Right, so we've been journeying through the Gospel of Matthew, and in chapter 16, Uncle John shared with us regarding the revelation of Jesus. Who is Jesus? And this revelation was revealed to Peter, and Jesus continued to say that on this rock I will build my church. And Uncle John shared with us that this rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. So that was in chapter 16. Today I'll be sharing a bit on chapter 17. So in chapter 17, we see this revelation continue in a sense, because Jesus takes Peter, James, and his brother John to the Mount of Transfiguration, what we today know as the Mount of Transfiguration. And on this mountain, Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah. And just imagine being on this mountain, and the next moment, here's Moses and here's Elijah, and Peter, being Peter, says, Lord, we can build three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he had a desire to stay there, to stay in that place of revelation, to stay in that place of seeing this vision of seeing the Lord in his splendor. And the next moment, a voice spoke from heaven. The Lord spoke audibly and said, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him, hear him. And they fell to their feet, fell on their knees, fell on their faces in fear, in reverence of who God was. And Jesus came to me and said, do not be afraid. And they looked up and the vision was over. So after that, they go down the mountain to the rest of the disciples, where they found the rest of the disciples struggling to cast the demon out of a boy who was struggling with epilepsy, had epileptic seizures. And Jesus rebukes them for their faith, for their unbelief, and drives the demon out, and says, some come out through prayer and through fasting. So this is where we pick up our story as we go in verse 24. And we'll read it verse by verse. And as we read, we'll have a bit of commentary regarding each verse. So if you have your Bibles, please follow with. In verse 24, it says the following. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? Now let's just stop there quickly. What is the temple tax? Because we know that at the time there were Roman tax collectors, but this is a different tax from the one that was collected by the Romans. So we see in Exodus chapter 30 and from verse 11 to 16, this temple tax described. So it was a tax which was required by the religious authority of the day in order to sustain the tabernacle. So for practical reasons, to service it, to refurbish it, but also spiritually to provide atonement for oneself. So who was required to pay temple tax? It was anybody over the age of 20 years old. So you had to pay temple tax annually. So every year there would be a time in the year when the people in the country would be counted and the whole nation would be counted. And at that time, temple tax had to be paid. So that's what is being referred to as temple tax. So those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said to him, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, verse 25, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. And in verse 27, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Now, this temple tax that Jesus was speaking to Simon about and asking him the question, from the kings of the earth, who do they require to pay customs and taxes? You see, at the time, this temple tax was paid toward the tabernacle. And the tabernacle represents the place of meeting with God. So that is where people would congregate to meet with the Lord. And for us today, we don't have an understanding of this tabernacle. But in a sense, it was like paying rent, trying to make atonement and saying, I've, in a sense, bought my way into this place where I can meet with God. And isn't it true? So often in our own lives, we try and buy our way into God's presence. It's almost like you feel you have to bring something. You have to bring your song. You have to bring your long prayer. You have to bring your 1 hour of devotion of quiet time. And then you feel justified to be in God's presence and to be at the place with meeting with God. But we see in Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and says that regarding the Sabbath day, and says the priests in the temple, in serving God, they broke the laws of the Sabbath. And then he continues to say, but something greater than the temple is here. And that's the same concept that's being presented here in Jesus asking, who pays taxes, sons or strangers? Who are supposed to pay these taxes? And if we are sons of God, and that's a question I'd like to pose to us, are we sons or are we strangers? Are we still stuck in the system of trying to bring our offering and trying to bring our sacrifice whenever coming to God and trying to, in a sense, buy our way into God's presence? Because Jesus says sons are free. And for as much as we're doing that, we are not free. And Jesus, even in speaking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he says that the time will come where it will not matter whether you worship in Jerusalem or on a certain mountain, but the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. See, Jesus has already made a way. So let us approach his throne boldly. I don't know what your circumstances may be in this day. You might be in a difficult situation, might be new in your faith in the Lord, but it's the same for all of us. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already made the way that we can now approach our Father boldly. And this just builds on the revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Let us pray. Father God, we exalt you. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, which has made a way, Father, for us to approach you boldly. And Lord, we lay down every idol, every religious idol, everything that we so often built our identity in our faith, and we put our confidence in that. We put our faith in that. But Father, in this day, Lord, we say we put our faith in you, not so much in what we do or in the things that we say or in what we can bring, but in you, Lord, in this revelation of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, for all who are listening, Father God, you know the circumstances, Father, of your people. And thank you, Lord, that you are still Lord, even in the middle of those circumstances. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.